Was he the fourth imam, second imam, eighth
second
imam?
Second.
Huh?
Second.
Second? How second. About you? Second. Second. Second is the right answer. Okay, second imam. Okay, and when, all right, you said the Quran was revealed, huh? Quran was revealed in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yes.
Which night, do you know?
There are three traditions.
There are three possibilities. They say the night of the 19th. Okay. Night of the 21st.
And
night of the 23rd. Okay. These are the three possibilities when Quran was revealed. All right. Now, out of these three, there are two nights, there are two very strong possibilities. And what are they, do you know?
The night of the 21st and the night of the 23rd.
Very good. Night of the 21st and night of the 23rd. And out of these two, one is very, very big possibility.
The night of 21st?
Night of the 23rd. Night of the 23rd is the right answer, okay? So these nights are holy nights, okay? And we pray, the Muslims pray all night. In these, not Muslims, but the Ithna Ashari Shias, they pray all night on these three nights. Okay. And when was the day when Imam Ali alayhi salam was struck by a sword?
21st.
19th.
19th. Okay. 19th was when he was struck in the morning, right? When he was praying. Okay. And when was his martyrdom, when did he die out of
21st.
The wound?
21st.
Good job. So now, brothers and sisters, these are the important dates in Ramadan Kareem. Okay? Now, we're going to talk about the importance of Ramadan. So far, we talked about fasting. We said fasting has a lot of physical benefits. Okay? And then we talked about the important dates. We talked about how many days we fast and all of that. Now we're going to get into the importance of Ramadan. Okay? So I'm just going to touch a little bit about importance for Ramadan. Then we're going to continue with it in the next session because we don't have much time. Okay? This month is full of blessings. Full of blessings. There is no other month like it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent the holy book in this month, which is full of guidance. By the way, guys, I got some news for you. Do you know?
What?
All the four. Do you know?
No.
No. All the four books. All the four books. What are the four books? Holy books.
Injil, Torah.
Torah, Zabur, Injil, Quran.
Beautiful. Four books. Injil, Torah. Zabur and Quran. The Injil is the New Testament. Torah is the Old Testament. Zabur is the Psalms of David. And Quran is the Quran. All of these four books were revealed when? In the holy month of Ramadan. Did you guys know that? All of these four books were revealed in the holy month of Ramadan.
Yeah.
So that is the importance of Ramadan. We're going to talk more about it in the next session. All right? Until then, thank you very much for listening to Kika Kids Corner. And this is Brother Ali. Inshallah, see you soon. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Salaam Alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here's Sister Batul again with a wonderful story.
It's story time.
Once a child was walking in the forest,
going to the left and then the right.
So impressed, he pondered the sight,
seeking to discover the hidden secret.
Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batul.
Well, let's go.
It's story time, story time.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salaam Alaikum, brothers and sisters. Here I am again, Sister Batul, with another wonderful story of the Holy Prophet. Some companions acts of the holy prophet? Once praised a woman in front of the prophet. They were saying, O prophet of Allah, there is this woman who prays in the night and she fasts in the day and she worships Allah a lot. They kept on saying, like, whenever she has some time, she prays, she worships. She's the best woman. She loves her family. She serves her husband. She serves her children. She is speckless. She's the best woman that we saw because she's always praying. And they went on and on talking about her other good qualities. But after praising her a lot, they said, but Prophet, she does have some teeny-meeny negative or bad qualities. Prophet went, what do you mean by that? So they said, I think it's not that very important. She is just like very mean to her neighbors. She has a sharp tongue and she even hurts them by her harsh words. Prophet said, that's not a teeny meeny bad quality. That's a big one. This woman is not a good human being and she is among those who will go to hell. The companions were surprised. Even though she prays the whole night, she fasts the whole day, it is not enough. No, Prophet says it's not enough. That's what the Prophet is trying to say. It's not enough. Being good to your family is not enough. You have to be good to your neighbors too. Otherwise, you can go to hell. And hurting someone with your tongue is the worst thing that you can do, brothers and sisters. Because if you hurt someone, let's say you beat up your friend or you're mean to them, that is not a problem. That might heal. But if you hurt somebody with your tongue, that is a big problem. Because that might not heal at all. So we should watch out that we should not have a sharp tongue. With this, I'd like to end this story. Inshallah, till next time. Keep yourself tuned in here with Sister Batool. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
I am a Muslim dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved.
See you next time, same time, same channel.
Of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. Allah, the best of the apostles, he is the greatest of prophets. And my darling mom, I love her much, who overwhelmed me with her touch. My dad is striving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. My dad is striving for my interest, among my friends he is the best. I am a Muslim, dedicated, keen on being educated. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged. Need I am and well behaved, in every affair well arranged.
Chased by wolves, followed by a hawk. On the battlefield, you took your final walk. It took my breath when you said goodbye. But then again, heroes never die. Your final words were stay the course. Trust in God, the everlasting source. Don't give in to the enemy's plots. Resist with faith, go against the unshakable soul, unstoppable power. Until the last breath, you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice, make you the hero we'll remember forever. Your blood was spilled, but it nourished my roots. I then became a tree with many fruits. The fruits are love, courage, and resolve. You've made me a soldier, so you I salute. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul, unstoppable power, until the last breath you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice, make you the hero we'll remember forever. A hero.
Good morning to you all. You're tuning to Iran Radio Broadcasting from Tehran. It's nice to have you with us. I'm your presenter for the next hour, so welcome. We'll start off this hour's programs with For Humanity, a variety of subjects from the Holy Quran, which predominantly tend to be social issues, are dealt within this program. Our radio productions feature will be next. Then it's time for A to Z of Life. This program presents an Islamic Iranian lifestyle in a variety of ways, making use of the ayahs of the Holy Quran, as well as inspirational poetry and stories. And leaders' speech will round up this hour's programs. The program offers a selection of statements and speeches by the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei. It's translated into English.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For Humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful, and may great peace and blessing be upon Prophet Muhammad and his household. Assalamu alaikum, my dear audience, brothers and sisters, and welcome back to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi, and we've been talking previously about the Quranic point of view about family. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at the family as a unit of calmness and the source of calmness, comfort, and the unit of mercy and love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at the family as only a tool and a means of satisfying the sexual desire or other empirical goals and empirical readings. So you might ask that when we look into this point that, okay, we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, to reach calmness, to reach comfort, to reach love and mercy could not be the ultimate goal beyond establishing a family. Since a believer, a true servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who looks in anything and every issue with a divine observation. So we are not convinced with this much about family. Okay, it's good that we establish a family to reach calmness, but so what? What's for? So we have to answer this, so what? And that is also answered in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you refer to the holy book, you see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some occasions emphasizes that عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Everyone is responsible for his own destiny, for his own ultimate felicity. عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Take care of yourself. Watch out about yourself. That is one step in the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is another stage and another step that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also introduces in his holy book. Let's go to that step after a short break.
I'll call it, may the oceans, rivers, lakes, streams and rain bow their waves in pure submission upon the earth to praise his name. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no creature among us upon the air or in the sea that does not sing with wonder, praising in community. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Welcome back, my dear audience, to the series of Talks for Humanity. I'm Hamza Azizi. We have raised a very thoughtful question that if we suppose that we are going to be the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we suppose from other hand that the establishment of a family by Quranic point of view is for reaching the true calmness and comfort and mercy and love, that could not be enough for a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because those are very good and they give a very good feeling to us, but it has nothing to do with God. So why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be concerned about human beings, whether feeling comfortable or not? Why should Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala find a way for taking human beings to the state of calmness and comfort? Why? Based on this point that we are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we expect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only to find a way and pave the way for our process of our servitude, nothing more. So, in another word, what does family has to do with our servitude, our felicity, our closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What role does family play in this process? We said that although Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some occasions emphasizes to watch and protect our own individual felicity, every one of us, alaykum anfusakum, but we have another step as well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in chapter Tahrim, verse 6, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum naran. Not that you have to protect yourself from the hell and from going astray and from losing the right path. No, you have another responsibility as well. Wa ahlikum, and your family. You cannot sit carelessly about the felicity of your family members. It's Quranically, it's impossible. It's improbable. It's not accepted. Wa anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Both your own personality and your family personality. So we can say, and we can deduce, that family could be a kind, or could be the first unit and the first step of communicative worship, or let's say social worship. As I said, family is the smallest unit of a society, is the smallest unit of community. Therefore, when we establish a family, we are actually practicing how to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala along with someone else. Up to now, I tried my best to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala individually on my own. But now, I have to learn how to practice worshiping, not on my own, along with someone else. Whether my wife, or my husband, or my children, I have to learn that. And that is very significant in Quranic observation toward a family. Inshallah, we'll continue this discussion the next episode. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alihi. 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 Salli ala Muhammad wa alihi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Have you ever thought about life in a desert area? An arid place with suffocating heat, hostile geography, extreme temperatures, and scarce resources.
It's all about freshness, freshness of life. Maybe it's all about the beautiful, shiny,
and constantly changing colors of our dreams. And the soft and pleasing breeze that flows through the branches and leaves of these trees.
We don't have it in our country, so for us it's like a new thing. It's an invention, I think. Especially here, as it's very hot in the summer or during the year, I think it works properly in this way.
Fantastic piece of engineering, showing wonderful expertise from Iran.
Well, I was very interested to know how this air conditioning system works, because my father works for a company in Belgium that makes cooling systems, but they make mechanical devices over there, and these are natural.
You experience, you know, in the hot desert, something completely, you know, different. It was a really wonderful experience, and I was impressed by the engineering and the architecture.
City of Yazd is undoubtedly a living museum that holds in every corner a precious architectural treasure. The countless historical houses of Yazd show the importance of this ancient city, which may soon become the first Iranian city registered as a World Heritage Site by UNESCO. The inhabitants of this land tried to use everything they had to master the hard character of the desert and create magnificent works of art for future generations. One of the architectural wonders of this city is undoubtedly the wing tower, or wind catcher. In Farsi, they are called Badgir. An example of how people use their imaginations and creativity to overcome obstacles. To start our journey in the world of inventions of our ancestors, we arrive at the Persian Garden of Daulatabad to discover the jewel that it holds inside. Daulatabad Garden in Yazd, which is more than 250 years old, is one of the most famous Persian gardens in the world. The garden has an element which makes it very significant, a great contributor to its famousness, and that is a wind catcher. The tallest wind catcher in the world. No joke, it's about 34 meters. It's a multi-directional wind catcher with 8 sides. It pretty much catches every wind, no matter where it blows from. The building and the garden were built in 1750 as the residence of the Persian king Karim Khan Zand. The tower was rebuilt after a collapse occurred in the 60s. The tower still performs the function of ventilation and air circulation inside the building. The wind tower or Badgir is neither more nor less than natural air conditioning, without plugs and mechanical devices. They can have several vents, from 1 to 8 on each side, where the wind enters and goes down the tower to the home, where it sucks the air up from inside of the rooms. If you stop just below one of them, you feel a permanent breeze of fresh air, especially during the extremely hot days of summer. Its design and aesthetic form provide an example of architecture in harmony with traditional society and the environment. The construction of a wind catcher depends on the direction of the airflow in that specific area. If the wind tends to blow from one side, it is constructed as a unidirectional wind catcher, facing against the wind direction. Throughout the centuries and in different regions emerged several types of Badgirs, with 1, 2, 4, or even 5 towers to direct the wind down into the buildings and structures. The reasons for having several wind towers for one structure could be technical, cultural, or just to please the eyes of visitors. The 5 wind towers in the famous Amir Chakhmak Square in Yazd are certainly among the ones that mesmerize you. During history, water has been always a critical element in human lives. Many parts of our country, Iran, are considered arid or semi-arid areas, which makes water a precious resource in those areas. Because of that, Iranians, and specifically people of those areas, including Yazd, had to come up with some sort of technology to store this water, to keep it fresh, cold and pure, so it would be drinkable. This is the dome of a traditional water reservoir called Obambor, which can store water at very low temperatures during the summer. Bodgears provide ventilation to prevent water from rotting. The weather situation in Yazd can be pretty harsh during certain times of the year. That's probably why Yazdi people wanted to build tiny little paradises inside their houses. This paradise has different elements, including waterways, water fountains, ponds, lots of trees, plants, and last but not least, the wind catcher. The wind towers have become a formal symbol and recognition of the city of Yazd. By using one of the cleanest sources of energy with zero pollution, wind catchers have made Yazd one of the most sustainable and eco-friendly cities in Iran. Today, wind catchers are everywhere in Yazd. They are decorating and cooling down places like water reservoirs, houses, Persian gardens, and caravanserais. Yazd definitely has one of the best skylines in Iran. If you ever visit this city, I would highly recommend climbing up one of these historical buildings to have a perfect view of this adobe city, to see all the beautiful domes, minarets, and of course, wind catchers. Some people go beyond the rooftop. They fly, and they go way up in the sky to see Yazd and its wind towers from a different angle.
از بچه‌ای که تو این کوچه‌ها قدم می‌زدم، بازی می‌کردم، همیشه وقتی روی پشتمون می‌رفتم می‌دیدم که عجب منظره خاصی رو من می‌تونم توی این شهر با استفاده از ارتفاعی که توی اون پشتمون هست ببینم. خب بر حسب علاقه‌ای که تو این زمینه به وجود اومد برای من و آشنایی که با این وسایل داشتم، شاید میشه گفت چندین سال پیش اولین بار که یه بادگیر رو از طریق درون، از طریق پهپاد یا هلیکام تونستم ببینم، دیدم که واقعاً معماری خیلی قشنگی داره.
I certainly agree with Daniel that the Bodgirs in Yazd have magnificent views from the architectural viewpoint. Shahryar Azimi for Iran.
Soul. Love, So don't be shy, just let your feelings roll on by. And don't wear fear, or nobody will know you're there. You're there, you're there, you're there.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, helping others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z. With me, Sister Zainab here on Arabi English Radio. And so the title is Helping Others, and I'm just referring initially to a particular incident from the life story of the famous Mahdi Ibrahim Hadi. So Ibrahim Hadi himself, in this little story, was actually still on crutches from an injury. And so, but what he was doing at the same time, so he was trying to help someone he knew who was a teacher to get a job, because this teacher had had big problems actually being hired. So even though Ibrahim Hadi was still in crutches, he was in this, presumably the building of the Department of Education. And he was going up and down the staircases on his crutches, in and out of different offices. And when he was asked, well, why are you doing this? You're on crutches. He said that this man had asked for his help, and secondly, that a man must do anything he can for the servants of God, and especially the good people that we have. And, you know, this is, so there's, in a sense, there's three things in here, three aspects that are quite important that maybe all of us need to bear in mind. So obviously, first element here is that Ibrahim Hadi had been asked for help. So, and we've probably heard this many times, if someone asks us for help, if we at all have the capacity, we really are obligated to try to help, yeah, if we're able to. And if not, it's really good if we just say to the person, oh, look, I'm not able to because such and such. And to be honest, and if we can then say to that person, well, look, I can't help you with this, but I know someone else. So if we can even refer them to someone else who can do that, provide that help, now that would be really good, inshallah. Welcome back. This is AZ and IB English Radio. And so I'm talking about helping others. And so I mentioned the story from the life of Ibrahim Hadi, who was helping a young teacher to get some kind of employment, basically, and was on crutches running up and down the staircases in the Department of Education. And then explained that obviously when we're asked, when someone asks us to help, we do what we can. And, you know, if we can't help, we're then able to even find someone to help that person. And then second very element, very important element, what Ibrahim Hadi said, and I said it's quite astonishing how obviously our martyrs are able to sort of separate out some of these really important concepts in some of the statements they make. So A, the one condition is we're being asked. The second condition which he mentions here is that, you know, for the servants of God, so for the fellow Muslims, for fellow believers, you know, we should try to do whatever we can. You know, so this is, and obviously we know that in general we should be helpful also to non-Muslims. But obviously this is a particular onus. If we know this is a really good person, a pure-hearted person, a hard-working servant of Allah, well, you know, there's the duty, the obligation for us to help is even stronger. And then, and obviously Abraham Hardy has sort of almost mentioned a third aspect, because he says, especially these good people that we have. So in a sense, he's almost going up a level. So maybe in those that particular time, there were then amongst the servants of, because obviously the servants of God, and inshallah, it's all of us Muslims. But then he's also saying, well, look, there's those amongst all of us servants of God who are really, really worthy. So inshallah, that's just a little, I would say, just a little onus, a little, I don't know, invitation. I'd like to call it an invitation, not a kick, definitely not. But a little invitation for all of us to think about, well, how else can we help people? If people are asking us for help, are we? If we can't, do we always remember to maybe think about whether someone else can actually help that person, inshallah? So, inshallah, you've gained just a few extra insights, reminders from today, and look forward to welcoming you back to another episode of AIDS Ed here on RB English Radio. And farewell for today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
We are with you. What about you? Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Blessings of Prophet Muhammad's birthday belong to all seekers of liberation and justice. 2017. I would like to congratulate all of you, honorable audience, the dear guests who have come here from other countries, the ambassadors of Islamic countries, and also all the great people of Iran who proved their kindness and commitment to the issue of prophethood and practice on this auspicious and great Eid. I also congratulate the entire Islamic Ummah, who has a feeling of unity and unanimity centered on the auspicious name of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam on this great Eid. I would like to extend my congratulations to all the liberated people throughout the world on this auspicious Eid. The blessings which have been bestowed on the great birthday of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam really belong to all the liberated people throughout the world. These blessings belong to all the people who are after liberation, justice, and achieving lofty and divine values. A number of mystics believe that the month of Rabi' al-Awwal is the spring of life in the real sense of the word, because in this month, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and also his honorable grandson, Imam Abu Abdullah Ja'far ibn Muhammad as-Sadiq, were born. And the birthday of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is the beginning of all the blessings that Allah the Exalted has bestowed on humanity. consider Islam as a tool for humanity to achieve happiness and salvation should know that this divine blessing is because of the Holy Prophet, which has been bestowed on us in this month. In fact, we should consider this great birthday as the beginning of all the blessings with which Allah the Exalted honored the human community, the Islamic Ummah, and the followers of truth. It is not enough to merely celebrate this birthday anniversary. We should primarily strengthen our spiritual relationship with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The world of Islam should strengthen its spiritual and emotional relationship with the Holy Prophet on a daily basis. This is the common ground between all the Muslims throughout the world. Those whose hearts beat for the formation of the Islamic Ummah should rely on this issue, the spiritual and emotional relationship with the Holy Prophet. That is to say, they should primarily make a serious decision to follow this great personality in all the issues.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Good morning to all listeners of Iran Radio. Nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. And here are some interesting facts about Islam. Muslim scholars such as Abu Ali Sina or Ibn Sina, 1980 to 1037, known in the West as Avicenna, made very significant and substantial advances and discoveries in medicine. When Christians came into contact with the Muslim world during the Crusades, they brought back Muslim scholarship, which in turn helped spark the European Renaissance. Islamic astronomy became highly advanced during the Middle Ages. Astronomy was important to Muslims because it could be used to figure out the direction of Mecca so that people knew which way to face during prayers. This is one example of how the Western world is still influenced by Muslim innovations. Thank you for listening. You are listening to Iran Radio, and now the continuation of the programs. We start off this hour's programs with Black and White. Then it's time for our radio productions feature once again. And we finish off this hour's programs with Ulema's speech.
Black and White.
A little over a year since Milei's taking office as president of the Argentine Republic.
Milei, este país se encuentra en una situación.
This country is facing a situation that's truly a social disaster, a national catastrophe, and a near total loss of sovereignty and independence.
Prácticamente absoluta de la soberanía y la independencia del país.
All economic policies have led to the destruction of small and medium-sized industries. The replacement of domestic manufacturing with imports has resulted in a significant increase in unemployment, reaching levels that surpass what was historically seen in Argentina before.
Incluso superan lo que ya era histórico en Argentina. Anteriormente, el pueblo se ha salido a la calle reiteradas veces.
The people have taken to the streets repeatedly, demanding the continuation of social programs in education, health, and housing, where there is a clear and visible regression.
Los jubilados particularmente han perdido.
Retirees, in particular, have lost nearly half of their purchasing power. They have seen reductions in benefits for medications, health care, and more. Everything is being privatized. Everything is handed over to the market. However, the market has only resulted in the extreme enrichment of the Argentine oligarchy, and even more so of the international imperialist oligarchy.
El Fondo Monetario Internacional.
The International Monetary Fund tightens its grip around Argentina's neck and thrives on the misery of the impoverished neighborhoods. American imperialism dictates Argentina's international policy alongside the Zionist entity that occupies Palestinian lands. In fact, Javier Milei openly identifies as a staunch Zionist, and of course he stands here as a servant.
Como sirviente, permitiendo que las empresas sionistas,
allowing Zionist companies to take control of numerous Argentine businesses, even in the territories occupied by England, such as the Falkland Islands.
Javier Milei no favorece ni la soberanía.
Javier Milei does not support sovereignty, independence, or social rights. Argentina is truly on the verge of losing its autonomy. The country is searching for a way out, and its people are seeking a solution. What will this combination of popular social mobilization look like? Will an Argentinazo coincide with electoral participation?
Participación electoral cuando son llamadas estas, todo está por verse, pero lo que sí está claro.
Everything remains to be seen, but what is clear is that Milei and his anti-patriotism, along with his submission to Zionism and imperialism, have only brought about injustice and inequality, exacerbating the existing issues. Therefore, all forms of struggle are laid out for the Argentine people. We sincerely hope they find a way out of this dilemma. Without a doubt, they will succeed. The Argentine people have historically shown signs and examples of dignity and standing on their own two feet. This time will be no different. We await it with all our hearts. This is Black and White. I am Eduardo Artes.
Soy Eduardo Artes. El avance de las políticas.
The progress of Washington's policies for Latin America has manifested in a unique way in the Republic of Argentina. Among the harsh elements, we see an economy that is driving the most vulnerable sectors, such as retirees and the elderly, into misery. There is a sense of destruction of the national industry, and with a president who seems to be out of touch, meaning not in his right mind, we find ourselves in a situation where we want to understand where this is heading. What is the way out? What is happening? How are the trials going, for instance, with the case of, regarding the former president, Cristina Fernandez, among others? How does the Argentine people perceive this? To discuss this right now, we're joined from the Republic of Argentina by Yair Sibyl, an analyst and journalist from the Argentine media outlet El Grito del Sur and the radio station Madres. Welcome, Yair, to Black and White.
Hola, Eduardo.
Hello, Eduardo. Thank you very much, and thank you for the invitation.
Yair, en la presentación.
Yair, at the first section of this program, I tried to address some topics about what's happening today in Argentina. Where is Argentina headed? After all, this issue is a concern for Latin America, and I would say on a global level, because it seems that one of the most profound neoliberal attempts is currently underway.
Well, in Argentina, we are currently facing a very concerning situation, especially regarding political and economic matters. The government of Javier Milei, which promised to dollarize, close the central bank, and turn Argentina into a powerhouse, is instead retracting consumption on one hand while implementing extremely high interest rates and opening up imports on the other. This is fundamentally affecting the Argentine industrial structure, leading to business closures and a financialized economy. As you rightly mentioned at the beginning, Eduardo, the ones suffering the most are the most marginalized sectors, retirees, people with disabilities, public universities, and those working in the informal economy. Today, we are witnessing that the dollar, which was the anchor for him at the macroeconomic level, is skyrocketing. A society that had faith in Javier Milei, deeply disappointed with the previous Peronist government, is now starting to distance itself just a year and a half into his administration, especially with important elections on the horizon that could shape the future. All of this is overshadowed by a serious corruption case involving overpricing for medications intended for people with disabilities, which was charged by the president's sister, a person he trusts the most. In other words, while Javier Milei himself was cutting pensions, his sister was charging drugstores a 3% surcharge to finance, the organizational structure of La Libertad Avanza.
That's right. This is related to, for example, the cryptocurrency scandal, right? The Libra crypto.
Absolutely. It's not just the Libra case, which you rightly pointed out, and that lacked the urgency one would expect from the justice system, but also a bribery scandal involving PAMI, the agency responsible for serving retirees and pensioners. Additionally, there was a scandal involving suitcases that entered the country without being inspected, linked to someone very close